You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Thursday, everybody. I am still recording, recording not on location where I would typically record at my house, which still has no electricity here in the OKC metro area. So thank you to everybody that's out there working to get electricity back. I believe there's still something like 750,000 people without power in the OKC metro. So all of the workers in from other states that are helping get power back, thank you to them. It's still cold and kind of rainy outside. Here's hoping that things change for the better in the next day or two. But do have an episode for you today on Thursday. I want to talk about some news that broke this morning about Malik Beasley's legal situation. Of course, he's a restricted free agent, so there are off-season implications there as well. And then also talk about an interview Sachin Gupta gave on Wednesday, media availability he did with several folks in the Twin Cities media. So just talk through some of the comments there related to the draft. And then I want to talk Big Board 3.0 once again, talk about the number five player on Big Board 3.0. We are through four, and today will be number five. So that'll be today's show. First off the top, of course, as always, a quick reminder to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so kind of a sad note to start the show, a disappointing note. Some news was released related to Malik Beasley's arrest. Of course, this was about a month ago now, late September. He was arrested on a Sunday, I think it was, and all we knew is that it involved threats and potential drug possession. He hadn't been charged at the time, and now we find that he is going to be formally charged with, according to, well, initially Shams Charania at The Athletic and Stadium. Charania says that Beasley is being charged with fifth degree drug possession and threat of violence following his September 27th arrest. His attorneys issued a statement saying they're cooperating with the investigation and carefully reviewing the discovery and charges in the coming days. There's the actual full report from the district attorney's office is out there. The press release from the DA's office in Hennepin County. So if you want to go find it, you can. There's some additional details as to exactly what happened. Not really the purpose of what we do on this show to break down the legal ramifications of this. In terms of a sentence, what we're looking at, it's unclear. It sounds like the drug possession charge is fairly minor in terms of what the jail time could be, but obviously threat of violence is a little bit more serious. And so we'll see what that means, if it has any impact. His court date was in late November. His wife is also being charged with, I think, one of the drug-related charges, and her court date's not till December. Who knows if he asked to get the November court date so that perhaps, you know, that aligns better with free agency and, you know, the Wolves and other teams are going to want to know what this means from an on-court perspective. Is he going to miss time next year due to serving any sort of jail time? Is there going to be some sort of discipline from the league, or will they just let the legal system, you know, the legal process run its course? We really don't know. So it's hard to speculate. It seems like at this point that the most likely scenario is that there's some sort of, you know, perhaps even if he doesn't get jail time, this arrest is going to impact his value on some level, and maybe he loses, I would think, some leverage in the free agent market in terms of what he's going to be worth, what his average annual value is going to be. Maybe a team won't want to commit as many years to him. It's not like he has an extensive, you know, violent criminal history, and so it's different than maybe some other players or prospects in the past in the league. But certainly something that teams are going to consider. And we'll see. We'll see what comes of this. And obviously, it's bad news for everybody. It's bad news for Beasley and for the Timberwolves and Beasley's agent. And it just kind of clouds the process for everybody. And so it's certainly disappointing. We'll obviously keep an eye on that. And I don't know if we'll really know anything else before his court date in November. And we still don't even really know the actual dates for NBA free agency. We know the draft is on the 18th, which is just under 3 weeks away. And following that is free agency. If, as we talked about on Wednesday's show this week, if the season starts in late December, that's effectively 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks from NBA draft to start of season, which means free agency's got to happen in there somewhere. And it sounds like Beasley's court date could be smack dab in the middle of that. So, I mean, who knows what kind of impact that's going to have on the process. All right. Next, what I want to do is talk about this Gupta interview, the media availability on Wednesday, and some of the things that came out of that, some of the phraseology he used that kind of, I think, tipped the Wolves' hand just a little bit further. You know, kudos to the Wolves for doing these media availabilities basically every Wednesday. But they are, I think, starting to kind of tip, you know, they're saying there's some kind of throwaway lines that I think kind of tip their hand a little bit as to what they'd really like to do. Not that it's really any secret at this point, but before we do that though, let's talk about our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning for the person at the counter while they order the parts in their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. Does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, on Wednesday of this week, Sachin Gupta did a media availability, and there were many folks in the Twin Cities media who were involved in that availability, asked some questions, and there were a couple of quotes that stood out to me. One of them is that he... Actually, I'll just read the whole quote, and then I'll note the part that stood out to me the most at the tail end of the quote. So Gupta said, in regards to the number one overall pick, he says, "We feel pretty good about where we're at. We're ready to pick. There is still information flowing in from different prospects still. The NBA is doing a great job trying to salvage the draft combine process and pre-draft process, but we feel really good about where we're at the top of the draft, and we are ready and are ready to pick if we have to." There it is. If we have to. I'm sure it was just a slip of the tongue, I guess a Freudian slip here. If we have to, not when we're on the clock or when we get to or when we submit our pick. It's if we have to. Clearly, the Timberwolves do not want to select at number one in this draft. I've talked about this for weeks and weeks now, really since the draft lottery. This is a value mindset front office. And yes, most front offices should be that. I don't know that they are. I think, you know, more so that way now. Certainly anybody from the Daryl Morey school of basketball operations. These guys are all... These front offices are all very value mindset based. The Timberwolves know that the number one pick in a not top heavy draft is not nearly as valuable as the number one pick would be in a Zion Williamson or Blake Griffin or John Wall or Carl Anthony Towns type draft. The number two pick is something like, depending on your perspective, it's worth a significant percentage of the same value as the number one pick. Whereas in a draft with Zion Williamson as just last year, obviously that pick is worth a lot more than number two. The gap is much smaller, and some would argue it doesn't exist at all in this year's draft. And so it's the Wolves' job to try and retain or I guess really build the value behind that pick and what they're saying publicly and privately and the way they're positioning things. And I think they've been helped a little bit recently. I talked on Wednesday about this sudden bump in James Wiseman draft talk and his stock allegedly rising among some of the teams, you know, the Warriors at two or Charlotte at three that might be interested in Wiseman. That helps the Timberwolves if there's some steam around a player like Wiseman, and it helps the potential trade value of the number one pick in the draft. But things like this where Gupta says, if we have to pick, I don't know if that's exactly how he said it, but in print saying we're ready to pick if we have to isn't the greatest thing, because clearly it just continues to perpetuate the idea that the Wolves don't really want to pick at one. They really want to trade back and pick up some other assets so they can maximize the value of their existing assets, whether that's packaging 1-33 or 1-17 to get a player and maybe somebody on the Wolves' existing roster. Maybe it's maybe it's packaging 17 and 33 to get a pick next year, and they pick, they stay pat at, stand pat at one and pick somebody. They package 17 and 33 for next year. There's so many different scenarios, and clearly the Wolves are really almost any trade scenario where they feel like they're gaining additional assets, additional value is going to be preferable to standing pat at one and picking in a draft without a clear number one prospect. He also notes in the interview that the Wolves don't have much cap space used in free agency. They know that, but they do have room under the tax line. So they would like to, I think he even said they will, or they want to retain both of Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez, who are both, of course, restricted free agents. And in regards to the draft process, as he mentioned, I talked about this a couple weeks ago when the news initially came out, the teams are able now to schedule 10 in-person workouts. There was some hesitancy with some front offices just because travel restrictions are still in place due to COVID, and there's quarantining to consider depending on where teams and prospects are traveling to. And so there are, there's a number of other things to consider. Just recently, I think it was Darren Wolfson of Score North and KSTP in the Twin Cities reported that a couple of Minneapolis natives, including Daniel Oturu, and I think it was Tyrell Terry, who of course went to Stanford, but is from the Minneapolis area, were doing a workout together in California. And there were a number of teams coming in. The Wolves were not one of the NBA teams attending that workout. Now, neither Oturu or Terry is likely to be a selection given where they're expected to go and where the Wolves are drafting. They're probably both going to go somewhere between the 17th and the 33rd pick. I don't know that either of them are a great fit. I know on my last big board, I had Terry rising a little bit because I think he might be a nice backup point guard if the Wolves choose to move on from Jordan McLaughlin. But I also don't think it's all that likely that they move on from McLaughlin. So at any rate, that's just another thing to think about in terms of the pre-draft process. And the Wolves are, of course, doing their due diligence. You know, in addition to having one 17 and 33, there's the likelihood that, as I mentioned a minute ago, they're going to move one or two, or probably not all, but one or two of those picks in another deal. So if they're trading back from one to six or eight or 12 or whatever, they're going to need to have a good sense for who's going to be on the board at those picks. And they have to essentially game out all of these scenarios so that they have every scenario at their fingertips. They have an answer. They can basically look up, hey, if we're offered this pick and this pick and this player, or this player and this pick from this team in exchange for number one, we say yes or we say no. They have to be able to make that decision in the moment instead of having a long drawn out debate when there's only 10 minutes on the clock. And so they're gaming out every single one of these scenarios. They're, Rosas alluded to this, I think it was last week in his media availability that he did, I think last Wednesday, that basically they have to consider, would you trade every player on the roster for whatever pick? You have to go down the list and say, would you trade Jake Lehman for the 13th pick in the draft straight up? Would you trade, James Johnson for X pick in the draft? The answer is probably no, because he's an expiring deal and he's a valuable asset in that sense. But they have to consider all those scenarios because they're going to get those questions on draft night. A lot of the best offer isn't going to come through. There's a reason why there's a lot more trades made on draft night than in the days leading up to the draft. And that's because teams will wait until the last minute to make their best offer, which is the whole reason why trade deadlines are so enticing, and they so much action comes at the deadline and not before, is because why make your best offer until you have to? And I think that the Wolves are in the process of clearly preparing for that. All right, next up, let's talk about number 5 on Big Board 3.0. Okay, we are on pick number 5, or I should say player number 5 on Big Board 3.0. Quickly, the top 4 on Big Board 3.0 so far. Number 1 is LaMelo Ball. Number 2, Killian Hayes. Number 3, Anthony Edwards. Yesterday on Wednesday, we talked about number 4. That was Tyrese Haliburton out of Iowa State. And now today, number 5, a reminder, this is the Big Board as if I were in the Timberwolves front office and we're picking for the Wolves and how I would rank these players. So we're now into kind of the set of players that are probably best chosen as targets in a trade back scenario if the Wolves trade back to 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever, and aren't going to be the best value at number 1, and it certainly won't be on the board at number 17. So I think it's still important, for all the reasons we just talked about last segment, for the Wolves to have a book on each of these guys, and it's important for us to talk about them because we might wake up the morning after draft night and be talking about the Wolves trading back from 1 and taking one of these players. And so it's important to have a good sense for what you know, what Minnesota would be getting themselves into if they landed one of these guys. So without further ado, number five on Big Board 3.0 is Devin Vassell, the wing from Florida State. He has been at five on all three iterations of this big board. I've noticed he's been sliding just a little in mock drafts. I tend to think he's a player who maybe outperforms some of these mocks. I do think he goes earlier than 10 or 11 or 12 or wherever he's typically getting mocked, because I think he is just, now the ceiling for Devin Vassell, I think is modest, but there's so much to like about his floor and his NBA readiness at this moment in time that I think he ends up getting drafted a little bit earlier than some folks think. His profile basically is that he's a classic 3-and-D player. He shot 41.7% on three-point attempts over 2 years at Florida State. He was remarkably consistent. In his first year as a freshman at Florida State, he shot only 1.9 threes a game and shot 41.9%. He shot 3.5 threes a game this last year in 30 games, started all 30 games, and shot 41.5%. So 41.7% for his college career. And I mean, that's on a total of, what's the total number of attempts? A total of 245 attempts. So it's not a super small sample size. He's a good shooter. His form is good. It's solid. His mechanics are solid. And he clearly is a top flight shooter, can step in at the NBA level and be a well above average shooter immediately. In terms of his size, he's 6'7" with a 6'10" wingspan, and he still hasn't turned 20 years old. And so that is certainly attractive when you look at his development at the NBA level. He would have been a young junior this year had he been in school. And so there's certainly room for development there. And the size for him is perfect for, say, a three in today's NBA, who should be able to switch on to fours and twos and probably ones as well, because of his lateral quickness and, agility and length as well. He isn't super athletic. He's athletic enough to be impressive in the open floor. He's fluid in transition. If he's receiving a pass in the open floor, he's coming down the court. He's got a good enough handle. He's athletic enough to make baskets at the rim, to finish through contact for the most part, and also to be physical on defense and guard multiple positions. One of his very slight weaknesses would be strength. He is a little bit wiry. He's a little bit thin, but those, again, not 20 years old, things that he can build up would be his strength. And he's not ultra athletic, but he's athletic enough to be effective in the open court, to finish at the rim. And also, he's not, his biggest weakness is just that he's not a dynamic offensive player. He doesn't put the ball on the floor and get to the rim very often. His first step isn't outstanding. It's okay. And again, modest, not outstanding athleticism. In some sense, he's a little bit like a much bigger version of Malik Beasley offensively, where he's more of a one dribble and shoot guy. He's a shooter in transition. He's okay on the catch and shoot. I mean, certainly above average, but he needs to improve there at the NBA level. But most of his damage was done early in the shot clock in the half court at Florida State, just receiving passes and knocking down open threes. And if he can be the fourth option on the floor for an NBA team, he's going to get plenty of open three-point opportunities and knock them down at an above average clip. He's extremely smart on both ends of the floor, and he knows his role. And so he's not going to overextend himself. He's not going to make dumb turnovers in the half court by putting the ball on the floor when he shouldn't, making bad passes. He's going to make the smart, easy pass when it's there. He's not going to make a pass when it's not. He's going to, if somebody overplays him, if he gets a pump fakes and gets somebody in the air, he's going to put the ball on the floor, one or two hard dribbles, shoot a pull-up jumper, maybe get to the rim and finish. It's just not a dynamic part of his game. Now, defensively, I talked about his switchability and how he's good laterally, and he is big. He's long. He's got a big wingspan. He's 6'7". He's not super athletic, he is a good on-ball defender. I think when I talked about him the last time around, I maybe undersold. I watched a bit more film of Vassell, and I think he is going to be a solid on-ball defender from day one in the NBA and a really good team defender. The Timberwolves could plug him in and start him at the three or the four, and he would probably be their best defender, except maybe Josh Okogie, but he's bigger than Okogie. And Vassell could be plugged in. He could guard two through four, certainly, from day one in the NBA. He's opportunistic, both in the half court and in transition, in terms of picking his spots when he's going to gamble and steal, or attempt to steal the ball. He's good at deciding when he's going to fully rotate within the half court defensively, or if he's going to stunt and recover. And he's long enough that he's always going to get blocked shots. He's going to get chased down blocks in transition. If he gets beat, he's long enough and athletic enough that he's a threat to come up behind someone and block their shot at the rim, even if he's gotten beat. So, I mean, good recovery skills. Really, the only true shortcomings are modest athleticism, some strength issues, and then outside of shooting the ball and, you know, finishing in the half in the fast break in the open floor, you know, he doesn't have a super dynamic, well-rounded offensive game. But because he's big and he's smart and he's a really good shooter and a good defender, there's no reason this guy shouldn't be a top 10 pick in the NBA. And I think the only thing that's holding teams back is he hasn't shown the ability to be just an incredible all-around scorer. And so therefore his ceiling is probably lower. I mean, that's not typically something that's going to develop with a player of his profile and what he did in college. But to get a player like this, especially in a draft like this one, somewhere between the 5 and 10 range, his floor is a rotation player, probably even borderline starter in the league as a floor. And his ceiling's probably really good starter. It's probably like it might be Chris Middleton, who's been an all-star, of course. It might not be quite that high, but it's somewhere in the middle between, you know, sixth, seventh man type floor and a ceiling of a borderline all-star. That's not a bad player to get between 5 and 10 of any draft, much less a draft that's widely considered to be weak. So Vassell, for me, is a really good target in a trade back, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy that the Wolves target in a trade back scenario in the latter part of the top 10 in this year's draft. So he's definitely a name to keep an eye on, and he's grown in my mind as somebody that that I've really, you know, enjoyed watching and reading up on him. So keep an eye on Vassell on draft night. I think that there's going to be some teams that target him in that, you know, as I said, the latter part of the top 10. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. As a reminder, we did miss Monday and Tuesday this week, so I will be back, of course, on Friday, that's tomorrow, and then also on Saturday with a weekend edition of the show to get us to 4 shows for the week. Go ahead and make up for the shows that the ice storm caused us to miss earlier in the week. So we will be back on Friday and Saturday. We'll talk more big board, and potentially there's a couple of stars that I want to talk about, the possibility of the Wolves going all in on trying to trade for, that we haven't really talked about before on the show. So you can look forward to that here on Friday and Saturday. That's all we have for you today on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.